Hey guys, I'm Adam Rapport, and you are listening to the Bon Appetit Foodcast. This week, my good pal Gabe T returns alongside Carla Lolly Music, and we are talking about vegetables because, you know, both Gabe and I were trying to eat a little bit healthier these days, you know, a little bit more veg, a little less carbs, but not cutting out meat because it's still grilling season and we'll be growing up meat, but we'll now have like, you know, maybe like one grilled meat thing and like three or four veg sides. That's what we're going for this summer. And on this podcast, we'll talk about all the techniques, recipes, all that and more. All right, let's do this. Gabe T, welcome back to the pod.
So happy to be here. Been counting the days.
Sam.
Carla.
Hi.
As always, welcome back to the pod.
Thank you so much.
We're talking like sort of, you know, we're trying to live a more veg-forward life. Can I say that?
I mean, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's on trend.
It's been a while since it was on trend.
And
it was on trend.
Can I give a bit of backstory for Gabe and me?
Sure.
Okay, so as men in their 40s are wont to do,
yeah.
Gabe and I see a trainer.
Right.
The same trainer. The
same trainer.
But not at the same time.
Adam did it by choice and then set me up with his trainer. Is that something that people do?
Uh-huh.
The guy like cold called me and said, Adam thought you might want to talk to me. And I was like, oh, did he?
Amazing.
It's like a real message.
Right.
It was a message. I thought Gabe could be living a healthier life, but I also thought, Gabe, you would probably like Damien. Damien's a good guy. Damien likes to talk. You like to talk. Yeah. I like to talk.
Yeah, we're bros.
Yeah, and like the only reason I think Gabe and I keep seeing Damien, because the working out part is not fun, but Damien's a good talker, and like,
right.
You're like, oh, I can actually hang out with this guy for an hour.
Yeah, it's cool.
He brings up topics of discussion.
Sure.
He asks questions.
So when you get to hang out with who you pay,
yep.
Who like makes you do stuff.
Yeah, he introduced me to exercise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But one thing that Damien always tells us, both Gabe and me, is that it's not enough to just do exercise.
Not in your 40s, it isn't.
No. All of us are in our 40s. It is like you also have to like mind your diet.
Right.
And so apparently, for a long time, Gabe was not the best at minding his diet, but he's recently told both Damien and me that he's now cooking, leading a more healthy-ish home cooking life.
I mean, we're trying, man. I'm a busy guy, you know.
You are very busy.
My wife's busy. We lead a very busy life.
You also seem to me to be someone who does indeed mind your diet.
Yeah, I mean,
I give it a lot of mind.
Yeah, it's.
He eats really well. The question is.
My voice is basically the sexiest thing about me at age 47, for all you out there in listener land. Yeah, I mean, we spend a lot of time. We spend a lot of time coming and going. We're on the road a lot. So when we're cooking, we want to be mindful of what we're cooking. We want to be in the practice, right? It's like anything, being in the practice. I mean, I've heard about the practice.
Is that like a yoga phrase?
Yeah, I think it's okay. Like people that practice yoga, you know, you have to practice. You know?
Yeah.
I think everything is practice.
Do it on the reg.
Yeah, do it on the reg. So my wife and I are, you know, making a concerted effort to try and mind what we're purchasing,
mm-hmm.
what we're preparing, and trying to get sort of a plan together, because the weeks get fast and furious and you want to have a little bit of a plan together and maybe some stuff that you can go to in a hurry that are going to be healthy and good for you and nourishing and satisfying.
Totally. So, right?
I guess that's my question.
And delicious.
Carla, because I think you are a more regular home cook than both Gabe and me. And I guess the challenge is, like, we know you can make something delicious on a Saturday when you have all day to cook.
Project cooking, we cover that.
Yeah. How do you do the Tuesday, Wednesday night sort of cooking with, like, how do you, Carla, incorporate fresh ingredients, vegetables, produce, and whatnot into your sort of weeknight repertoire so you guys are eating sort of pretty healthy-ishly?
So I'm going to leave my children out of it because they complicate everything. One of them is vegetarian, then wasn't, now he is again.
Goddamn kids.
I
can say that because I'm a dad.
I know.
Yeah.
Were they ever on like the whole white food thing where they would only eat white stuff?
The little one, yeah.
All right.
One of the things that has become a practice of my, maybe the last 5 years, but 10 years ago I didn't do this at all, is... Actually, and I think you could pull this off because it's just the two of you being dinks over there, and you live in a neighborhood.
Dinks. I just learned this.
Dual income, no kids.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So you are super busy. You have a busy career. Wife's working. Everybody's coming and going.
Yeah.
I actually really believe in not doing too much planning ahead. in this stage of life.
Yeah.
And instead, because you live within walking distance to some purveyors who I think have what you're looking for, you can stop in and go to the butcher. Where do you get your produce in your neighborhood?
I mean, we still have sort of one of those like City Acres or one of those sort of, it's sort of a supermarket, but it's just trying to disguise itself as not a supermarket. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think you have to keep things around. When it comes to vegetables, it's pretty convenient because they don't take a super long time to cook.
Yeah.
And eat what you feel like and then minimize the amount of like proteins.
I'm never super stoked about the sourcing, you know, which does matter to me. In terms of meats, we have a great butcher that's near my house.
Right across the street,
But in terms of veg, I think like in the summer times, if you have access to a farmer's market, not everybody does, but when the veg starts flowing in the summertime, it's great to go there and kind of load up, you know, or if you want to get super.
I just believe a little bit less in like the Sunday prep for the week than I used to. I actually think that can set people up for like having a lot of project cookery going on that doesn't really pay off in the moment because you're making big batches of things that then
don't really keep.
For Tuesday, is for Thursday, is for my lunch on this other day.
Yep.
I don't know. After I've been cooking, if I don't eat then, I just that like looking at leftovers is never as exciting as having something fresh.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah. So I agree with you, Carla. I just, in terms of shopping, I feel like sometimes I'll buy a big batch of something, but then like, oh, darn, I have something came up tonight and I'm going out. And then tomorrow night we have plans. And then Friday, and then all of a sudden that's been sitting in your fridge.
Right.
I've written about this before. I love to buy a nice piece of protein, Gabe. Whether I split a pork chop or split a steak, not one for each of us. So you sort of cut down on the amount of protein, but then sort of double up on the veg.
Right.
I love Josh McFadden's book, Six Seasons, for all you listeners out there.
That's a great looking book.
I think this is a book. So if you haven't, Josh is the chef at Ava Jean's and stuff in Portland, Oregon, also owns Tusk. It just makes me want to go to the market, buy vegetables, and cook them.
It makes me want to buy books.
Yeah, it's a beautiful book. But it's also like, you don't have to do it. What I like about this book is not the exact, you don't have to follow every recipe to a T, but it's inspiration on the cover.
That's my favorite salad.
He has a celery salad, which I love to do a version of this. Celery is great. You can get it anywhere, anytime. Cut it on the bias into little slivers. A lot of time, I'll throw in some chopped up like Marcana almonds or toasted almonds. I'll take some yellow raisins, which is weird because I normally don't like raisins. And when I'm making the vinaigrette, I'll soak them like in rice wine vinegar, make a vinaigrette, throw in some flat leaf parsley, maybe some shaved Parmesan, toss that together.
Boom.
That's your salad you serve with a steak or pork chop or whatever.
Some people hate celery.
That's crazy.
I know.
My wife,
some people,
really strong reaction.
Extreme, same. Okay, I have a good friend who just, you can't even mention the word.
It's like they're cilantro. They can't take it. Well,
they're just
all right. Well, let me throw you another option, which I did last summer, which I've seen in restaurants, and take a lot of ideas from restaurants. Snap peas, you know, like
those
nice little plump, crisp peas. You just peel the little thread off. Slice those up on the bias. And then
Do they have a bias?
You slice them on the angle. And so, or you can do them lengthwise, fully lengthwise. And then I toss that with some flat leaf parsley, some nicely thinly shaved radishes, and some chopped nuts, whatever I have around, and a nice sort of lemon vinaigrette. And that is so crisp and crunchy.
Mm.
And you can have that with a nice pasta or, again, grilled whatever. You know, it's
or
just like
a little soft burrata if you wanted to have
situation.
Exactly. I mean, I know that's not healthy, but it could be delicious.
It's not healthy. This is the thing, too. Like you mentioned, sort of having less protein and more of other stuff. I don't actually believe that protein is bad for you. I think that what most people don't get in, and I know you weren't saying that, but like having a smaller portion of, maybe if you're trying to eat less meat, it's about having a little less of that so that you can create an opportunity to have more of the other stuff. So having more sides, like treating a meal instead of, your meat plus two as like a meat plus five.
Yeah.
So you have like all these different kinds of things to get into. And those dishes that you described are not hard. They don't require like even turning on the stove. You're getting like a ton of fresh produce, and there's fat and nuts and like all that good stuff. So you do get satisfied. Like the mistake people make is switching over to food that then doesn't sustain them or satiate them at all.
It seems to me that a meat plus five is kind of on trend with where restaurants want to be right now.
Totally.
Yep.
But is that what that whole all-day cafe thing is about? I keep reading about I have never been to an all-day cafe. I think they started in Australia. But they're very, like, it's bright and airy, yeah. and there's plants in there, and yeah. they serve you vegetables.
Yeah, but
and
you're,
it's, like, good.
But you're not doing that on a Tuesday night. You're not having meat plus five, you know?
There's no, but I things. Might be having, like, a lot of veggie things when I get home.
Yeah.
And just, like, pull a bunch of that stuff out, do get sure. your snap peas, have a little dip going.
But also, I think what Gabe, what you already incorporate in your cooking, a lot of your project cookery on the weekend, yeah. is, like, so I'm looking at this celery peanut apple salad that McFadden does, also doing like dressings that's really bright and acidic, maybe a little heat in there.
And all purpose.
But mm-hmm. it also satisfies your taste buds in a way that just a simple like steamed broccoli with some olive oil and salt does not, you
or
know?
Or like a shallot vinaigrette doesn't necessarily get you going.
You know, there's something formulaic in a good way about Josh's salads in the crunchy and the juicy. There's something always acidic. There's always usually a nut. Spice also yeah. can be like very satisfying, you know, it like does a different thing to your palate.
Yeah. Well, I think to Adam's point, it's like, you know, a great salad dressing can really bring a pile of veg alive in a way that can be, you know, delightful. So not everybody has that in their repertoire. And I'm not even saying that I do, although I use those kind of some sauces and dressings for meats and veg at the same, like at the right. same damn time, Adam.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But I could use some more. I could use some more ideas. You got any?
Well, what about, all right. Well, yeah, we got veg, but I also am one of those guys. I need to get full.
Mm-hmm.
You're, correct me if I'm wrong, you like beans.
Love a bean.
I think that's a nice thing to have. I love when I have like some beans in the fridge, like, ooh, I can just warm those up. I just bought some nice salad fixings and a piece of protein so-and-so.
Yeah, man.
I love to have that thing that you can go to that's sort of already that you might have made on a Sunday.
Totally.
Beans are having a moment, right? For real.
They really are.
Yeah.
But on the weekend, I might do a big batch of beans or I might not. But during the week, that's like, I fully believe in the power of the Goya.
Yeah.
Oh, the canned bean.
You're good. You're
like a
no
canned
worries.
Chickpea
yeah.
is just such a great like dinner option. So it's the same thing, but if you haven't made your own batch of chickpeas, you can get a can of beans out, drain them, rinse them, and then just give them 15 minutes in some delicious olive oil, some shallot, something spicy, a lemon peel,
done.
Pepper, chili flake.
I would do the Goya black beans if I'm ever doing like fish taco night yeah. or whatever. I'll just saute a little onion and garlic in a pan, then throw the beans in there, maybe a little beer or something.
Mm.
I think, you know, making beans, by the way, it's not, you know, going with the dry bean, soaking them overnight,
yeah.
and then going slow and low with them till you have that kind of al dente outside with the creamy inside. If you have the right bean, like a nice white bean or
totally.
Some kind of like gigante bean or some kind of something. If you have that, if you can get that, that's incredible. And you can all purpose those. You can use those. And it's very easy to do. I messed it up a whole bunch of times, but I was like, I'm going to get this.
Yeah.
And when I did, it was like my wife and I were stoked. We, you know, we ate them for a week. That was something that you can do and kind of repurpose. You can throw them in kind of a, you can throw them with a protein. You can kind of throw them with some veg. And you can season them up real nice, and that can be something that you can
totally.
You can eat. And I think it's healthy.
Fully.
We both love, I got this from Carla, her beans and greens pasta, where sometimes I will take a whole head of kale, strip it, that means taking the stems out, sauteed oil, garlic, and then I like to buy some like cans of white beans, sometimes like the imported like cannellini beans or whatever.
That's nice.
Pour that in there, warm it all up. Meanwhile, you got a little pasta going. And then toss that all together.
Can we take out the pasta?
Well, here's what I'm trying to do.
I can't believe I said that.
I know.
So
I can't say that either. But I'm trying to get to a point, and we've written about this in the magazine, where I have more toppings, less pasta itself. You know what
right.
I mean? Like I could eat 8 ounces of pasta myself.
I know
I'm not supposed to.
This is so un-Italian, right? This concept.
But it is
in a way the condimenti, like, yes, you're not drowning the pasta in sauce, but I understand. I fully understand what you're saying.
Like, I like to go more greens and beans, less
yeah.
pasta.
See, my thing is like, I still want to have the 8 ounces of the pasta, but I'll just eat an entire head of kale. So I feel like, it's more, you know, it's fine.
Oh, you're just saying you had more nutritious.
Yeah.
Twice the calories with all the nutrition.
Yeah, kind of. Like, if I'm going to eat that much pasta, I should also get like the, you know, 3 days worth of my RDA vegetables.
Gabe, what have you cooked at home lately that has sort of fulfilled your healthy-ish goals?
Did a pot of beans. You know, I mean, basically when we're trying to like make diet food, you know, we'll make some
But that's just so depressing when you think of it that
it
way,
is
right?
So depressing. But you can make some chicken breasts taste really good with just some olive oil and some lemon and some, you know, some herbs and some garlic. You know, you
like
you,
a pounded,
you know,
like a pounded thin.
Yeah,
pay,
you could,
Payard
you could
style.
Do you could do it Payard style. You can do you can yeah. You definitely want to at least butterfly them if you don't pound them out. But you can do them. I mean, you can do them in a pan
and like a cast iron skillet.
Yeah, I should probably do it in the oven. I mean, I guess there's methods to do it in the oven, but like just
no,
baking a boneless skinless chicken breast is so depressing.
Can I ask when you say the you know in this practice of eating more healthfully, like what's around that? Like, are you talking about a chicken breast with no skin on it?
Yeah,
are we trying to reduce fat and sugar, and or is it like a total
and portions
reboot
and portions, and also having a lot more veg, and adding things.
Gabe just took his glasses off dramatically,
and adding. and adding more, you know, sweet, like adding like a sweet potato in there instead of any kind, you know, which I guess is a starch, but I think it's a little bit more healthful. Yeah,
can we talk about that? Because Carla, you're a big sweet potato
Love
person.
A sweet potato.
Simone made them the other night, and I got to admit, I'm like, this is pretty good.
I like the purple ones.
They're so good. They're very starchy.
With the white
they're
flesh
so
inside.
Good.
So yeah. Talk to us about sweet potatoes, pros and cons, and.
I think the reason that sweet potatoes got on the list of the healthy potato that you get to eat is because they have added value, right? So because they're orange, they have all the beta carotene, they're higher in fiber, they have the kind of low glycemic sugar so that you don't get that white potato like spike in your sugar. It's more of like a steady burn. And then I think also because they're sweet, to American palates.
Yeah,
and
they're like super high in riboflavin.
Yeah, so it's like not hard to convince small children and people who don't really like healthy food to eat a sweet potato because they're sweet.
So we just roasted them whole, split them open, a little olive oil, salt.
Great.
Do you do anything else to them?
I mean, I like a lot of butter and pepper, but
I was trying to be healthy.
No, but when I fly, I have them steamed. So
have you heard
I,
about this, Gabe?
This is what I eat when I'm on the plane. Sweet potato. Steamed sweet potatoes, charred kale with like no garlic onion.
But when you say steamed, that means you cut them up and you steamed them like in a steamer, or what do you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I might steam them whole.
Okay.
So sometimes I do. It depends how big they are and how much time I have.
What are you steaming them in?
A steamer.
Like over a pot of water, you mean?
Would you do? I don't know.
I don't know if you have like a bamboo steamer or something.
I mean, it's kind of crazy, the whole steaming of sweet potato. Yeah, like, how long could that take?
Well, can't
it
you just
like 20 minutes?
Can you roast it if you wanted to?
Yeah.
No. Come on, Gabe.
Sure. You can boil a sweet potato. But I'd prefer to steam it.
Okay.
You steam it and then you cut it up with the kale? I don't understand.
Okay. There's two different processes. Right. So usually I steam the sweet potato in either a steamer, which is just a steamer basket set into a few inches of simmering water. Put the sweet potatoes in there. If they're really big, I might cut them into like thirds crosswise. Mm-hmm. I also like to season them if I'm doing that because the flesh is exposed, so you might as well just season it.
Oh, do you ever do that thing? Sorry, I hate to interrupt, but I always do. Where you season the steaming water with a little vinegar and stuff?
No,
it's true.
I just
it
think
does.
It's bullshit.
That's not built. It totally infuses what
sorry,
it is.
Sorry, world.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Did you ever, when you were young, play with the steamer basket like
yes.
it was like a like yes. it was kind of a spaceship?
Totally.
Do you remember the first Star Trek movie where they went to see V'ger?
No.
And V'ger was like basically a steamer basket?
No, because I've never
it's
seen a
so
Star Wars
badass.
Movie.
You should see the first Star Trek. And they would say V'ger.
With Shatner?
Shatner was in it. It was incredible. And it was like basically a steamer basket was the
That's really funny.
Was the
entity
that they
would I have
see.
A picture of my younger son sitting in the kitchen with a colander just like straight up over his head.
Yeah, perfect.
Like through the helmet.
You can put some antenna on that with just some like Reynolds wrap.
Okay, so
Sorry, did we get off topic?
Sweet potato. So you steam them, then what do you do?
I steam them, then I pull the peel off, which just like slips right off. I like to steam them in the peel because there's always like the you know, a lot of nutrition
in the peel.
In that peel.
The best part.
I know the peel is very nutritious. And then I put them into a quart container with olive oil and some salt and some lemon. And then separately in my cast iron skillet, I do my patented dry char method.
Ooh.
Have we never talked about this?
What?
So then you take kale, strip it off the stem and the rib,
mm-hmm.
right? You know,
yep.
that's
yeah.
the rib when
yep.
it's in the middle. It's the stem down below. And then give that a rinse with a little bit of water still clinging. Heat up a cast iron pan, very hot. Don't put anything in it. Don't
no
put
oil.
Any,
no garlic. Nothing.
Nothing.
Wow.
Throw the kale in there. Sizzle. Does all this like sizzling.
Poppin'.
And gets so excited.
Blistering.
And yeah. And it does char like on a grill. The first time I did it, I was trying to replicate that like charred kale, nice grilled flavor. Yeah. So you just like let it go. It gets kind of smoky. It sort of flattens out and hangs out. The little bit of steam on the leaves is helping it
cook.
You know, cook. And then when it's to my liking, I put a little salt on it. And then I turn off the heat and I drizzle in like a third of the amount of oil that I would have used if I was doing a saute. Okay. But it's like the leaves are already wilted and super tender and bright green, but they have the char and the little smoke.
Mm.
Put a little olive oil on that. Stirry. Then that goes in the quart container, like stacked, right? So you have your sweet potatoes, you've got your charred kale. And then,
so everything is still like kind of warm at this point.
It's pretty warm.
Yeah. It's like a vegetable parfait.
I was going to say it's like a veg parfait.
Oh,
nice.
Should have put it in a mason jar, then I could sell it at the all day cafe.
Yeah.
You know? and then the top layer is going to be...
You can get like that in a flat white for like $9.
Like $90.
Yeah.
Flat white.
And then on the top, I like some toasted, chopped up nuts because they have fat, maybe some yogurt, maybe a drizzle of like tahini and olive oil, more
tahini.
Lemon, tons of herbs, maybe.
Yeah, we need more tahini.
And that is like it's sustaining. It's so easy on your belly. It's filling because like sweet potatoes just filling and you just feel like I don't need anything else.
So yeah. You
I'm
eat
good.
That as your meal on the plane?
Always.
Do you ask for a fork or do you bring a plastic fork with you?
You need to remember to pick up a fork when you go to the Starbucken and you get your tea.
Okay. I think it would be badass if you whipped out like a pair of bespoke chopsticks and hit
that's
it
like
that.
A meal like a bento, stonic
like a
style.
Like a bento box. If you packed it in like a bento box situation, you would be really stunning.
That would be hot.
What
if I had like one of those spoon, those, what do they call them?
Sporks.
Yeah.
Again, killer. I like the sweet potato recipe that you guys ran in a Thanksgiving issue maybe this past year or 2 years ago, which was twice cooked sweet potato. You cook it, you get it all nice and creamy and roasty, then you shred it up, you let it cool a little bit, and then by hand in like very irregular sized pieces.
Oh,
I love irregular sized pieces.
That is such a delicious recipe.
And
I
then
know what you're talking about.
And then on top, it was like a yogurt sauce with a little bit of lime zest and maybe some chili.
Yes.
And it was incredible
and really
and I
beautiful.
Have that all the time. I want to have that all the
did
time.
Did you make that for Thanksgiving? Or?
I did. It presented beautiful on the plate. And by the way, I think that's something that you can, even though it was in the Thanksgiving issue, I think you can have that any old time.
I
think that would be good
agree.
For the, I think that would be good for the summer.
Yeah.
And what I want to also talk
wait,
about.
Wait, can I interrupt?
Yeah. This
again.
This just in.
The title of that recipe on our Healthy-ish website is roasted sweet potatoes with chili, yogurt, and mint.
Badass.
Very good.
And what I want to do this summer for that is I want to do some live fire cooking with the sweet potatoes.
Yeah.
And I want to toss those suckers in the fire.
Yeah.
I want to get
in
my,
the embers.
I want to get my Francis Malman on. I want to throw potatoes into fire.
Have you?
I want to throw all of this veg into fire. I want to throw those sweet potatoes or any old potato.
With their skins on.
Skins on.
All the way in.
Into
it.
The embers
yeah.
and let it get so smoky and charry on the outside and the inside is creamy.
Yeah. Mm.
And I just want to mash them up and drizzle a little bit of that yogurt, that limey.
That cooling yogurt sauce.
And with a little bit of chili. And I think it's going to be really good.
I agree.
Have either of you been to the Dabney in Washington, D.C.?
Never.
So Jeremiah Langhorne, chef, just won James Beard Foundation Award for Best Chef Mid-Atlantic,
great.
I want to say.
Congrats.
And most of what they do down there is live fire cooking. I think they have no gas
in the
restaurant.
I mean, I've been at events where they're there.
Yes.
And it's awesome.
And what he does, Gabe, which is really cool, and he does this year-round depending on what season it is. But he's got the embers going and he has these little like they're kind of like I guess like a grill basket or almost like a deep fry basket, and he'll put a bunch of little veggies in there. When I was there was like turnips and maybe some carrots and other things, and he sort of nestles them into the embers so it's easy to pick up and take out,
right?
But what I thought was really interesting that Jeremiah does there is that he likes to do them kind of al dente, mm-hmm. like not so they're all the way soft and cooked through, so they still have some bite to them, mm-hmm. but they get that really nice charred flavor, and then he'll toss them into a sort of a salad. Like he'll bring some nice bright vinaigrette and some other maybe non-charred vegetables, and which I think we talk about a lot, which is nice.
Mixing.
When you mix, you have something fresh, something charred, you know, sort of you get like the bright and the crisp and the smoky all sort of going together.
It's one of our other favorite recipes, the charred and raw sugar snap peas from Roberta's, which has the spicy buttermilk dressing.
Yeah.
That has just like a little bit of chili, a little creamy cooling, and then the two kinds of
Well, do you want to talk about this one that's right in front of me?
Yeah, here? I do, because so
wait,
I brought...
Wait, can I just... I feel like I'm always interrupting.
You are.
But I just want to second that, like that those snap peas, and this is something I know we talked about the chiffonaded version of those before, which Andrew Knowlton... turned us on to, oh, here we go. Thank you, Emma. Charred sugar snap peas with buttermilk aioli.
Isn't that just what she said?
I was close. It's nice to have the actual recipe name because so you can find it.
Oh, okay.
Because even I have trouble finding the things I'm looking for sometimes.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, Knowlton turned us on, like, that taken snap peas, and once you take those little threads out, and I would just throw those on a grill basket over just ripping hot fire as your fire still, if you're doing charcoal grilling, where the fire is too hot to maybe put a ribeye on because you want it, but just the peas get nice and charred. Then I'll just take some fresh lime juice, douse it with lime juice, some chili flakes, some sea salt, and you eat those just as an appetizer during cocktail hour, or you can just wait and just serve them with your meal.
Do you think that we should fire that up for grill night?
Oh, I think we should. We're having grill night next week.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Am I invited?
Totally. We'll email you.
Build is like a dude's thing,
yeah.
But
we'll Slack
oh,
you.
Got it. So you guys are still doing that like binary kind of cooking?
No, but okay. All right. Simone's out of town. She's on a girl's trip.
Oh, okay.
And so normally, if I invited Gabe and my brother over for dinner, Simone would be like, "Those guys are so loud and so annoying, and get them out of my house by 8:00." So
I didn't know she felt that way. Actually, that's good to know.
She doesn't find you annoying. She just finds when all of us are together, annoying.
I was actually going to say something complimentary about her during this podcast.
you could go ahead. I can't imagine she's listening.
Well, it was going to be about how. I want to say maybe 5 or 6 summers ago, she came in to barbecue situation and introduced me to the farro salad. I hadn't, and I know you love one, right?
I brought one with me if I can ever get to talk about the recipes.
Well, I wanted to tee you up with this, so here I go. So Simone made a really, really great one, and it looked really, really easy while she was doing it, and everybody was just going gaga over it. I think it was really simple. It probably just had some cherry. It may have been like late August, so there may have been some good cherry tomatoes around, maybe some cukes, maybe some herbs, maybe a lot
of fresh herbs, a lot of mint.
Maybe a little bit of
charred cherry tomatoes.
Would there have been feta in there or something?
There could have been a sharp cheese.
Anyway, it was great, and it wasn't something that I had before, and I just loved it, and my wife and I tried to replicate it, you know, summer after summer with some varying degrees of success, but it's a great thing, maybe potentially healthy farro.
Oh, for sure.
Okay, so
and also you're like loading it up with all that veg.
Yeah,
so
it's a
whole grain.
Why don't you take us through one?
I will. That's what I bring to the beach a lot, too. I feel like the beach, if you're spending a lot of time at the beach on the weekends, I'm like not a snack shack person.
Yeah. It travels really well, too.
Travels really well.
Yes.
Gets better. Okay. So the one that I really love that I was inspired to bring today, because it has all of those elements, it does have surprise raisins, though, which you made a face when he was talking about raisins.
Yeah.
So like maybe we'll find something else that has a little sweetness in there.
You could do like...
dried cherries?
But anything,
yeah,
again,
sure.
You know, or you're doing, you know, charred caramelized. I like to always put in grilled scallions. So if I'm grilling, because scallions, when they're grilled, they get that kind of sweet creaminess. And it kind of just goes back to what you're talking about with Josh McFadden. Like there's a formula.
Always,
something sweet, something crunchy, something acidic, something fresh and herby.
Something
spicy. And you kind of freestyle.
Look, I guess I'm not mad at dried fruit, period.
That's okay.
It's just not something that I go towards in my cooking. But yeah. I'm looking at that recipe, so what I like
about this recipe and the title of this recipe is farro with pistachios, mixed herbs, and golden raisins, which if you don't have pistachios, use a different nut. Mixed herbs. You can kind of go crazy with the tender ones. But what I like about this is you make the farro and then you slice up the pistachios and the chilies, and the raisins are kind of like very chopped up. You don't get like, oh, that was a big raisiny bite and now I have a really spicy bite. It's like all of those kind of get down to the same texture, almost like they're, did I say sliced? They're sliced.
Yeah. Yep.
And with the kind of the same shape as the farro, and then you get a ton of herbs in there, a little bit of spice. And I thought this was kind of genius. There's grated ginger.
Ooh.
In the dressing, and it just gives it a little bit of heat, but that freshness and a little zing. It's delicious. So it's lemon zest, lemon juice, ginger, a tiny amount of sugar, which I guess you could admit, but I mean omit, but I don't, half a teaspoon of sugar is not going to kill anybody. There's no problem.
Yeah, and then
serrano and black chili. So, I mean, black pepper.
Wow, that sounds great.
And it's delicious.
It's so flavor forward. There's that brightness, yeah. The acidity, the sweetness.
And then all of the texture, you go back to that crunch and juiciness.
And it's like tabbouleh. When you have a good tabbouleh, it's basically half herbs. This salad, like farro is a component in the salad.
Right.
It's not the component. You know what I mean?
Okay.
It's, when you add it all up, it's not like a carb-heavy salad.
And you're tasting all of those things.
Yeah, but it sort of pulls it all together.
Another thing I like, especially with entertaining, and you kind of alluded to this with, you know, you're getting the grill ready and maybe you start with the sugar snap peas, is eating kind of, and it's very trendy now too, with all the small plates and the like, we suggest you share 9 items that each cost $27.
Yeah.
To kind of stagger the meal so you eat a little, hang out a little, talk a little, get the next dish ready, hang out, eat that, chill, put something else on the grill, sort of getting away from this idea that you have to have everything like at once, which is a hard thing to do when you're cooking and things are ready at different times. And also if you're eating slowly and mindfully and then you're like, I'm actually like really satisfied. That was great. Or like kick off the meal with something fresh and crunchy and light and like get your palate going.
Yeah. Like an ice cold beer.
Yeah. Yeah. One of those.
Carl, you mentioned on your email when we were doing a little research.
Yeah.
I want to say research. Just a little batting about ideas.
Yeah.
I just love this. Savory watermelon or other melon situations with MSG and herbs involved.
I'm in.
I like all of that. Can you talk to us about that?
Yeah. I love. So one of the things I love about savory melon, especially, or savory fruit salads using melon, is that, you know, melons being in the gourd family with the other gourds and pumpkins and zucchinis and things, like they do have their naturally vegetal flavor, so they can go that way very easily. It's kind of like
Luke. You can take him to the dark side because it's in his bones.
That's right.
But if you want to take him sweet,
he'll go full Yoda. So. It just plays really well with that sweet and then also the textures.
So give us an example. If you have a good watermelon,
so what
are you
going to
make?
I brought a honeydew.
So organized.
I brought a honeydew example. That this recipe is by Andy Baragani. Honeydew and fennel salad with basil. And basically, another pistachio moment. But it's sort of like half shaved fennel and half honeydew cut into nice chunky pieces.
I love fennel.
I do too.
Yeah.
My wife does not like fennel.
What does she like?
I'm trying to tell you. I mean, I'm trying to tell you. I'm trying to live my best life out here with celery and fennel.
Yeah.
And it's like,
Gabe's just trying to get her to like him. I mean,
I mean, that's the truth.
Anyways, how do you do a fennel salad?
Are you going to tell me she's one of those people who doesn't like olives?
No, she likes olives.
Okay, phew.
Yeah.
You know what? I like olives during cocktail hour on their own. I don't like olives typically in other dishes because I feel like they often overwhelm.
I don't like an oil-cured olive. I have a hard time. Anyway, back to the salad.
Yeah.
Fennel. Shaved fennel, crunchy, licorice-y.
So good.
Not too juicy.
But then
the melon is like super juicy. It's actually literally hydrating and sweet, but a little bit savory. Takes to salt very well. Takes to pepper very well. So this has white wine vinegar and lemon and olive oil and basil and a lot of chili flakes. So you get your like spicy, cooling, sweet, vegetal, crunchy. It's got it all.
Again, honeydew, not my favorite.
No, I know. You don't think so, but when was the last time you had one? Mm. You probably had like...
It's been a hot minute.
Right, because you had it off a salad bar and it was like rock hard and tasted like nothing.
Yeah,
but
no
good honeydew is like actually quite good.
Know, but a good cantaloupe.
Ooh. Yeah, so that was my easiest idea. You could do this with watermelon, I guess, is just cantaloupe with a lot of black pepper, a little bit of olive oil, some salt. You have MSG in the house?
No, I should, right?
You should.
Yeah.
Especially for cucumbers and melon.
Talk to us a little bit about what MSG is.
MSG is a basically synthesized version of a thing that's naturally occurring in food. So seaweed, Parmesan, mushrooms, kombu, lick a stick of kombu.
It doesn't necessarily make you have an acid trip or like OD.
No, definitely. I mean, I think it just got
It would be a lot more expensive.
It got a bad rap.
Yeah, it got a really bad rap. Yeah. I wrote about my love of MSG on the Healthy-ish website, actually.
Oh, dope.
I guess if it bothers you, you shouldn't have it, but that's true for everything. And I think that MSG got a bad name because people started eating tons of crappy Chinese food in the 80s and maybe didn't realize that it was like sugar and soy sauce and cornstarch and oil that was making them feel crappy.
Yeah.
But I think it's interesting on the melon note, just thinking when you're at the market, thinking interchangingly. It's
right.
Like, oh, melon is not that different than a tomato. Like, I can make a tomato salad. I'm going to put basil and shallots and this and that in. Oh, I could do the same with the melon. You already do from the 80s watermelon and feta or the 90s or whatever that was. Okay, well, instead of feta, maybe I'll use Parmesan. And then I'm going to add some fresh mint. And then I'm going to take some watermelon. And then I'm going to throw in some nuts because why not?
And then you've got your like prosciutto and melon.
Yes.
Like, works because it's a sweet and salty.
Right.
Gabe's all right. So we're grilling next week, and
I want to make some broccolini. Can we talk about broccolini?
Adam loves broccolini.
I love grilled broccolini.
Let me ask you a question about broccolini. Is this just like a marketing? Is broccolini like a marketing thing? Was this like the broccoli farmers of America sitting around being like, "Let's pick the broccoli a little early and call it broccolini"? It's like broccoli.
I am all in.
I know you love it. I do too.
I think broccolini's the best.
I just don't feel like broccoli needed to have any improvement.
I don't want fully mature broccoli.
Why not?
Because I like broccolini.
broccoli, like when you steam it, for instance, can get a little smelly in a weird broccoli sort of way.
It's
broccolini.
Cabbage,
broccolini does.
Is it cabbage?
Broccolini is fresh.
All the cruciferuses are cabbages.
Oh man, I just learned something.
I will throw maybe a little bit of olive oil on the broccoli. All right, grilling night.
Everybody loves broccoli.
I love to make that farro salad you just mentioned with whatever is good, fresh veg wise. Maybe some charred scallions, some nuts, some raisins, all that sort of stuff in there. Meanwhile, I'm charring some broccolini, getting that all sort of olive oil, lemony, sea salty.
I think that's right.
Charred
chili.
And fresh.
Yep.
And then I'm throwing my protein on there, and maybe I've got a melon salad going. And like that right there is a super satisfying meal without taking you into like potato land or pasta world or, you know what I mean? It's like super fresh.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, and as long as you are sort of like in check with in terms of the amount of steak you buy, I think you're in a good place.
So you kind of treat the broccolini like asparagus?
Yeah. Okay, you mean like grilled asparagus?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a little olive oil, salt, and then get it charred, but it's still a little crunch.
I want crunch.
Our buddy Sam has a great method for broccoli on the grill, which is that he takes the whole...
Regular broccoli.
He'll take the whole big head.
Sam Cass, shout out. New book, Eat a Little Better.
Yeah. Actually, it's a great...
Should have been here.
He should have been here today. It's a great... He is here. He's with us now. It's an amazing... I'll just give him a quick plug. It's an amazing book. And it's really about not only... I should actually read it more closely than I have. It's not only about eating more healthfully and mindfully, but it's also about sustainability, which is his thing, right?
He's a policy guy. Should be all of our things.
Yeah, and he sets it up for you, I think, in a way that's really understandable and really easy, and he kind of divides the foods up into groups and talks about their sustainability and says, hey, let's do more of this, a little bit less of this, a little bit less of this. You can kind of do this if you have to, but let's try and stay away from it. So it's not overbearing. I think it's really well done.
You know,
he's incredibly handsome.
What he told me once that I thought was like, wow, this would actually energize like our entire nation.
Yeah.
If we're not more careful with the environment, there's going to be no more chocolate. Is that in the book?
I don't know. I didn't get to the chocolate part. but he does
but
this thing.
That's like could be a level of urgency that I think the like the general population would be like, uh oh.
Well, I just read
this is
that
a problem.
I could deal with no chocolate as long as we still have ribeyes, but that's a big problem.
I just read that
the Suntory company is completely going to discontinue the Hibiki 17 line of Japanese whiskeys, which is a real problem. So let's just let's get our ducks
in a row. Let's get back to the broccoli.
So with the broccoli, he takes it and he cuts it right in half. And kind of seasons up the side.
So you've got two lobes of the brain.
And wax those two lobes of the brain flat side down right on the grill and cooks them and just cooks them whole.
Awesome.
I don't know, it was awesome.
Did he flip it or just char the one side?
I don't know.
And then olive oil and salt and lemon.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah. It was great. It looks great when it comes to table. And you sort of carve it up.
And it's got probably varying textures. So it's going to be like really charred and soft on that cut side.
Yep.
And then as you move all the way through. That is an amazing segue actually to one of these recipes that I brought today. This grilled cabbage wedge with buttermilk dressing, which is kind of it's definitely a play on your basic wedge with blue cheese.
That sounds good.
But it's cabbage, and you char it so that the kind of the
on
most
on a grill or in a skillet or either
on a grill. But you could totally do. I really believe. I think if you're grilling, you're not gonna have the same smoky flavor. But just get a nice hard char with the cast iron.
Yep.
And it does the same thing. It's like the outer edge is softened up and juicy, the way like cabbage gets sort of translucent.
If you like cabbage
and sweet. Or do you not like cabbage?
I mean, I'm not crazy about it.
Okay.
I think you can do it with lettuces too. No, can I just say, because Gabe, Irish kid from Boston, he thinks cabbage is like this wilt, like soggy sort of stuff. But like cabbage, like eating it this way, delicious.
But if you love broccoli, you love cabbage.
Yeah, yeah. I think I do love cabbage. Yeah.
I think you do too. But you could do this dressing with that charred cabbage, with the charred broccoli.
Sounds good.
It'd be great. But it's crunchy but charred, a little bit steamed in the middle, but more raw on the side that's like not in direct contact with the grate. So you get all these different textures. And then an ingredient that I see deployed a lot in these kind of like lighter, fresher, but still satisfying recipes is buttermilk.
Yeah.
Which is low fat, like lower fat than, you know, your sour cream or your whole fat Greek yogurt, which is the only kind that anybody should be having. Adam's got his hand up again.
Well, no, because I was doing a podcast with Claire Saffitz from Bon Appetit last week, and I bought some buttermilk to make some sort of desserty thing or something, but it called for, or no, I was making her BA's best fried chicken sandwiches. Not healthy-ish, but delicious.
Oh, man.
God bless them, they're so good. Yeah. But you know, you have to buy the whole quart.
I think that's right, and that drives me crazy.
And I have 28 ounces left, so give me a good buttermilk dressing.
That drives me crazy.
There's always buttermilk in the fridge.
So what's your go-to?
At the music
what's
family?
Your go-to buttermilk dressing if you're gonna make one?
I would probably take some Greek yogurt.
Okay.
Like a dollop of Greek yogurt, and then I would whisk in enough buttermilk to make it dressing-ish, and then I would put a little bit of olive oil just for that like bitter deliciousness, a little lemon, a lot of black pepper, some Aleppo chili flake.
Yeah, man.
What about any sort of garlicky or some sort of flavoring?
You know what I love, and you can give me all the crap you want about it, granulated garlic. I would totally 100% put granulated garlic in exactly that. And then if I had some herbs, maybe chives, chop them up.
The granulated garlic kind of takes you to Ranchville.
In a good way.
In a good way. Healthy ranch.
It's one of the only like...
Ranchville?
Ranchville.
Ranchville.
What's up with you, man? It's like potato land, Ranchville. Pasta town.
I should remind me, I got to start watching Westworld. I haven't started watching
Westworld. I know, me neither. I'm behind.
I love that show. Crazy. It's such a good show.
Sorry. Gabe's got a call.
That's not good. It can't be good. That's Courtney. Shout out to Courtney.
All right. You know, you can just put it on vibrate.
Turned it off. I'm sorry. It's weird. This has never happened.
The other buttermilk thing that just came up, not necessarily healthy. It did have vegetables in it, though, vegetarian pasta that is in our June issue that Molly Boz worked on it's like orecchiette with pea. And then instead of using the pasta water in the pan sauce, she used buttermilk for a little tang and a little creaminess.
Wow, that's intense.
Can you, and we'll wrap up in a minute, but speaking of that ranch dressing, and Gabe mentioned tahini earlier, and I see that you have our tahini ranch dressing recipe, which totally intrigues me.
Yeah, we need to get into this.
Can we talk about that?
So I brought two, actually. There's a tahini ranch. Check it out. Take it away.
We need to get into this. Were you guys on some tahini a couple issues ago?
Yeah.
We're big into tahini.
It's a thing.
The other thing is people buy tahini, I think, because we, you know, now everybody wants to make their own hummus at home, and everybody got their tahini. I mean, I'm talking about the people who didn't already have it and know that it was like a great everyday ingredient.
Yeah.
And you use a couple tablespoons here and there, but same thing. You kind of have to buy a 24-ounce jar of tahini, and then you're like, what am I? Yeah, please. Right. And then what are you doing with that for the rest of your life? But similarly...
Well, unlike buttermilk, it's got an incredibly long shelf life. So I can't be mad at the tahini makers
buttermilk
of America.
Buttermilk lasts forever.
I don't think so.
Forever.
So I want to see... Sorry. So
literally months.
So tahini ranch dressing, you've got your lemon juice, tahini going on. There's some olive oil. Oh, some miso.
Yeah.
Another... See, these are things...
Umami, baby.
I feel like we need these. These need to be part of my pantry more than they are. My larder.
You need miso, yeah.
Tahina,
always.
The miso. Then you got some maple syrup or agave nectar, onion powder, garlic powder. So I feel like we're going like
agave
healthy
good.
Land back to like our mom's land of like the jarred spices and
it's
sort of
flavor.
It is.
I mean,
yeah,
what's, you know, it's flavor. And it's not sour
Even
cream.
This is all purpose. You can put this on anything.
You can put that on. You could dip your broccolini right into it.
Yeah. But what I love about this, like you can do this for. Like, you know, a basic sort of wedges of a romaine. You can grill vegetables and drizzle it on. I think we just need to think more interchangeable.
Yeah, I think that CLM was onto something when she was talking about the grilled cabbage wedges, because I also wanted to ask you guys a little bit about grilled, so just more grilled greens in general, salad greens. Like what can hold up?
Well,
like the chicories thing is popping right now, radicchio, these type of things.
For sure.
And I think those things hold up on the.
I've heard you it. Already with I think Simone. I know like, Simone loves the grilled radicchio.
Yeah.
These
Too
things
bitter.
Hold up on the grill.
You know
right?
what
For
does?
Sure.
Get a nice tight head of romaine. Split it lengthwise, a little bit of oil, and just grill it side down, flat side down, and it gets a beautiful char.
That sounds nice.
And then drizzle some sort
Tahini
of like Caesar
ranch.
Or ranch or something, you know, set green goddess dressing all over that.
Is romaine part of the chicories
no.
family?
No, it's just lettuce.
Yes.
Okay. But still going to be really good. All the cabbages, maybe you want to try like a Savoy cabbage or a Napa cabbage, which is more leafy and like light and bright, a little sweeter, and really has a high water content.
Yeah.
I'm making like a squeezing motion with my hands when I say the water content.
Yeah, good.
And Swiss chard stems. Have you had the Swiss chard stems on the grill?
No.
Mm.
And ribs?
No.
Oh my God, one of the great things.
Stems
really?
And ribs?
Oh, yeah.
Can you pickle those?
Yeah.
What do you do with the leaves?
You could
saute those.
Yeah, you could saute those, or maybe you want to have like Swiss chard pasta, and you don't want to have like the ribs, and don't throw those away. Save your ribs and stems, cut them. Actually, for this, you would leave them whole in their like little pointy spears, and just do the same thing you were talking about with the broccolini: olive oil, salt, pepper. Grill them, smoky, crunchy, vegetal, earthy, so good.
All right, sometimes it's just talk. This is not just talk. Next week at Grill Night, Gabe.
Yeah,
we're gonna be doing all sorts of this.
Veg
stuff.
Sides.
Yeah,
veg sides.
Yeah, let's get into it.
Yeah.
Why don't you bring a couple things? Maybe you need to make some dressings.
I need more information because you know if we're gonna be. I do. I mean, we all need more information, but I need more information if I'm gonna be, you know, trying to eat mindfully and you know have a and you know what. Damien, bringing it back full circle, talking about Damien, he is the one that told me that I need to be on a plan and be doing cooking for the week on a Sunday. And
that's
over
what
the
trainers
that
think because they get up at 5 a.m. and they don't come home. So like they need to live that life. You don't need to do that.
But I thought it made sense for my busy lifestyle because I really at the end of a day, I come home and I'm just like shell shocked and really all I want is booze.
Right.
I don't want to cook.
Okay, but riddle me this. So you're such a busy person. You're doing all this. You're burning the candle both ends.
Nighttime, daytime. I have podcasts
you're like,
that I need to do. I mean,
you're like got stuff going on. Do you really? You're really telling me that you're going to take 4 hours on your Sunday to cook a bunch of food that's not even for right then.
Well, what I was going to say was that I didn't. The couple of weeks that I've done it, not only did I not like doing it, I became completely disinterested in the in the food that was in the fridge.
That's exactly
like
what I said at the
like
beginning
three or
of
four
the
days. I wasn't feeling the plan at all.
Not at all.
But I have been able to tell Damien.
But you could do a couple of things. You could make some beans for the week. Something basic that you can mix and match. Maybe some grains. But otherwise, buy the other stuff fresh. And always, I think, always make sure. as you said, have some miso in the house, have some tahini in the house, you have some almonds of some sort, have some pistachios of some sort, some raisins.
Everyone I know who like cooks a lot, their fridge is 75% condiments and then the thing that they're making right that minute.
I thought you were going to say 75% condiments, 25% LaCroix. All right. On that note, guys, Gabe, I'll see you at Grill Night next week. Carl, I'll see you at work tomorrow.
I'll call you guys. I'll call in for that.
All right. Bye. Thanks, guys.
The Bon Appetit Foodcast is produced by Carrie Polis and Christina Che and produced and edited by Emma Wortsman. Our theme music is by Nathaniel Wortsman. We have new episodes every Wednesday, and if you want to tell us about this or any other episode, email us at bonappetitfoodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.